You're listening to RIMO Radio, the official podcast for National Novel Writing Month. "'Twas the night before X, when all through the Y, not a letter was stirring, not even an I. The S's were hung by the T's with care, in hopes that St. Alphabet soon would be there. The Z's were all nestled, all snug in their beds, while visions of W's danced in their heads. And you in your kerchief, and I in my cap, had just settled our words for a long winter's nap." Happy December, everyone, and welcome to this special So Long and Thanks for All the Novels edition of RIMO Radio. I'm Sam Hallgren. At the top, we heard an excerpt from A Visit from St. Alphabet by writer and illustrator Dave Maurice. I was in the bookstore the other day and saw that and thought immediately of all the NaNoWriMo participants. I had to share it. I hope you and your loved ones are looking forward to a long winter's nap from novel writing. Coming up on this show, a toast from Chris Beatty to all you beautiful novelists out there. NaNo participants in Chicago compare notes at Chicagoland's Thank God It's Over party. The final edition of the 60 Seconds of Fame contest, and you wrote a novel. Now what? 2003 NaNo veteran Rebecca Agowich talks about what it took to get her NaNo novel from first draft to published. But first, we couldn't all make it to the Bay Area, Thank God It's Over party, to hear Chris Beatty's farewell to NaNoWriMo 2005. But thanks to the magic of radio and to audio-savvy San Fran NaNo Aaron Ratliff, if you close your eyes, maybe crack open a beer, and use your already overtaxed imagination, we can go back in time. Here's Chris.
When I validated my novel about 3 days ago, I discovered that I had run out of words entirely. So I want to use somebody else's words to kind of express some of the things that I've felt about this month. At the kickoff party, I had talked about how cool it was that all of these pockets of novelists were existing everywhere, from Singapore to Stockholm. And so I have an email that I received from one of those corners, and actually it spans two of the corners. It's from a South African woman living in London. I want to read it to you. "This was my first NaNo, and it was all quite the result of a huge karmic accident that I actually ended up doing this as part of the London group, and more amazing still, that I finished my 50,000 words in less than the allotted time. I'm South African and was sent to London in September on an extended holiday, which was really just an excuse for getting me out quick for the sake of my own safety. I was fleeing an abusive husband and had to drop everything that I knew, friends, home, family, work, and come to London. I was in a bad state emotionally, and I had absolutely no focus. I'm a freelance writer, and I knew that perhaps if I wrote down the events that caused my arrival in this foreign city, I would be able to put them behind me and start to heal. I tried for a whole month, but would sit in front of the keyboard blank, surfing the internet instead, which is when I found the NaNo site. Suddenly I had a reason to push myself and a project to work on. I had a damn good reason to get out of bed in the morning. I had new acquaintances and made new friends. Before I knew it, we were all sitting around the computer, listening to my voice reading out an excerpt of my work on the BBC radio. And I could not imagine what made me lose faith in myself before. I leave for South Africa in just over a week, carrying with me the camaraderie that I've discovered in what we as South Africans call one of the most unfriendly cities in the world. I also carry with me a disc holding the first 75,000 words of a novel that is going to change the world of abused women in my country. NaNo may mean small, but it's meant big things to me." And every year, usually towards the end of the month, I get an email like this one that just inspires immediate projectile weeping. You know, just kind of, just sort of saturates the keyboard right there. And And this year, I got about 50 of those emails. And it makes me think that something went pretty right out there this month. But whether you wrote 5,000 words or 50,000 words, know that your willingness to take up this somewhat stupid challenge really is an absolute inspiration to us. And your kindness and support and good looks and, and your enthusiasm all are the things that make Nano mean something very big to me. So I'd like to propose a toast to Team 2005. Woo! I look forward to doing it all again next year.
Yeah!
In the second year, you pretty much learn from your mistakes. Last year, I wrote basically a romance novel. It didn't start out that way, but it turned into that. And I learned what I did and did not like about my writing over 50,000 words, because it was the most I'd ever completed. So I feel better about it. I feel better about my story this year than as compared to last year. You perfect the speed writing in the first year, and the second year you try to perfect the actual prose while you're doing the speed writing.
That's Michael from Chicago. I sat down with Michael and a couple of other Nano participants at this year's Chicagoland Thank God It's Over party. We talked about novel writing strategies, the difficulty of letting go of November, what it's like to finish 50,000 words by mid-November and then write 50,000 more, and celebrating. First up, talking writing strategies with Dave James, a first-time novelist from the south side of Chicago.
I used to work with the movie guys, and they showed me how to storyboard. So what I did is I storyboarded the novel right out to the end, and it just adds as a visual aid, because 90% of your brain processes visually. And what you do is you just write down little stick figures, nothing elaborate, of the actions, interactions, and that way you've got all the facets you need, and it acts as a stimuli. So if you put up one storyboard per chapter, invariably one picture can go into two chapters easily. No problem at all. And NaNoWriMo was great. It gives you something to go for. It really got me moving. So that's me. I'm done. How about you?
I'm Paul Rice. It's my first time, and I'm from the north side of Chicago. I was really concerned about finishing. You know, it was a big task taking on along with my job and everything else. And funny, on Sunday I was actually like, I don't know if I want to finish this. You know, I'm at like 47,000, 48,000. I'm like, this means it's going to be done soon. So after kicking my own ass and getting over that, I finished like Monday at like 5 or 6 in the evening. It was really great. I laughed, I cried. It was better than Cats.
My name is Kim Jenley. This year I was number one in Chicago by about 31,000 words. I made 111,888 words as my final total. I spent almost all of my time in the Reaching 50,000 Words forum doing the 15-minute sprints. And this is what I learned. This is the big thing I learned this year. I was doing 15-minute sprints, and I could get about 600 words out. But then I realized if I went into iTunes and I made a playlist that ran for exactly 15 minutes, and I told myself I could not stop typing until the music stopped, because I was never very good about starting on time. So if I just had the music to time me, I could write 1,000 words in 15 minutes on a good day. The real goal was to finish the story, and I really honestly thought it could be done in 70,000. And it turned out that there was no way. And in fact, on the very last day, I wrote 14,000 words in order to get it done, and I was estimating 5,000 that day, and a subplot appeared on the very last day that had to be taken care of before I could write the end. But I did manage to write the end 4 minutes before midnight.
I'm Jennifer Fetz. I'm from Chicago, but originally from Fort Wayne, Indiana. This was my first time doing NaNoWriMo, and I finished at 9:30 on Wednesday night, and I went out to buy not champagne, but the champagne of beers, Miller High Life. And right after I finished, I said, I'm never doing this again. But I think I would like to do it again maybe in like 5 years or something, just to see kind of how I've changed as a, you know, as a writer. I initially intended to write about characters pretty much my age, you know, in their late 20s, but I ended up writing about college kids pretty much. So I'm wondering if, you know, 5-10 years from now, I won't then write about people in their late 20s, you know, because I'll be more familiar with just how I was. It was funny, like, the main characters that I started out with became really boring, and the, like, this one character I had that was going to just sit on the couch and play video games during the entire thing became the most interesting character in my whole book, and he met a hooker under a viaduct, and that's the end of the story.
I feel about NaNoWriMo being over now is I'm kind of glad, except I'm also sad because it was really fun.
My sentiments exactly. A little happy, a little sad. Couldn't have said it any better myself. That was Yoni, a fifth grader at the Jewish Community Day School in Watertown, Massachusetts, summing up his November. Yoni's teacher, Susan Midlarsky, got her kids to participate in NaNoWriMo's Young Writers Program this year. What was their first experience with novel writing like?
When I first heard about NaNoWriMo, it was very exciting but still scary because I didn't think I could write that much. But then when I started, I just didn't stop writing.
I thought it would be sort of hard to do that many words, like, in a month. But then after I did it for a few days, I thought it was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be in the beginning.
Well, I thought it sounded fun. At first it sounded hard, but then doing NaNoWriMo, it was much more fun than hard or annoying or anything like that.
It turned out to be way more, like, complex and stuff than what we when we heard about it. So I thought it was just going to be just write a story, but it was much more than that.
What I thought when I first heard about NaNoWriMo is that it would be a dread and I would never be able to finish. And I would be the only kid who wouldn't be able to finish.
I thought it was going to be really awesome and amazing. I thought it really NaNoWriMo was going to be amazing, and it really was.
And the biggest challenge?
Probably the denouement at the very end, because all the action was over and I didn't have much to write.
Very nice use of vocabulary.
Agreed. The denouement is a killer. Thanks to Susan Midlarsky and her fifth graders at the Jewish Community Day School in Watertown, Massachusetts, for sharing their thoughts. Susan's class was the subject of a December 3rd Boston Globe article. To read more about Susan and her young novelists, go to www.boston.com.
He's 4'1", eats goats for fun, likes to bake all day in the tropical sun. Okay, no goats were had, only some mice and rats. Has the whole block scared, thinking he's so bad. His name is Art, like you hang on the wall. I wear him on my shoulders like a squirmy shawl. His name is Art, he likes to watch TV. I lay him on my lap so that he see.
You just finished your November novel. You love the story, you love the characters, and you know there are pockets of brilliant prose sprinkled throughout. What next? Rebecca Agowich's novel Breakup Babe began its life as a lowly first draft written in 30 days in November 2003. On April 25th, 2006, Breakup Babe will be published by Ballantine Books. Rebecca always wanted to be a novelist. Even when she was young, she dreamed of being published, and she was no idle dreamer. She had an idea for a memoir that got the attention of literary agents. She worked on the book for 2 years, but she wasn't getting any closer to finishing.
I got to the point where I was writing a few times a week, but I could never progress past 3 or 4 chapters. I just kept rewriting the same chapters over and over again. So I was really frustrated. And I had stopped working on it for a little while. And then I asked a friend of mine how she had managed to finish 2 novels. Because I'm like, I just don't think I'm capable of finishing a novel. So I asked her how she managed to do it, and she told me about NaNoWriMo. So I thought, wow, that sounds pretty cool. So I decided to give it a try. I had an idea for another book. So then that was right around the time I was taking a break from the old book and came up with an idea for the new one. And it was around the time that NaNoWriMo was about to start. So I decided to try that as a way to get a draft of my next book done. And it worked.
So what was your original impression of that first draft that you wrote in NaNoWriMo in that November?
I knew that it was incomplete and that I would have to fill in a lot of gaps later, but I thought there were definitely parts of it that were genius and parts of it that were really bad, but I had covered the scope of what I wanted to cover, and that felt good.
Can you describe what revising is like? I'm just thinking of the people that will be listening to this will be, they'll just have finished their first draft, their NaNoWriMo mm-hmm. novel, and
yeah.
they're thinking about approaching that first revision. You've been through it. How can you describe
yeah.
that?
One of the things I found especially that comes through the revision process is finding the tone that I want. And it's very hard to get the right tone when I write a first draft. Everything comes out very serious and very stodgy and very stilted. And it's through the revision process that I can find the right sort of lighthearted, humorous tone that I try to have in my writing. So the revision process, it's very laborious, but I've learned to trust that it's going to work, that if I just sit down and work on something every day and revise it over and over, that it's going to get better.
Now, did you have a sense there where it's like, oh, I sold the book. I got an agent, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I sold the book. I'm done. Did you have that kind of feeling?
No.
So what was it like to have somebody tell you, though, we bought the book, we're interested, now revise the whole thing?
Well, it felt totally amazing to have someone buy the book, first of all. And by that point, I had a fair amount of confidence in myself that I could actually finish something, whereas when I came into NaNoWriMo, you know, a year before that, I didn't have confidence that I could finish something. But at this point, I was so disciplined from sitting down and writing every day that I knew I could do it. The insecurity that every writer has, that in the past, in the pre-NaNoWriMo days, I would sit down to write something and hate it and think I was a horrible writer and then give up. And I've learned that almost a lot of the time when I sit down to write, I still have that feeling, oh, I'm a horrible writer, why am I even trying? But then I learned to push past that. And I think the NaNoWriMo experience, where I was sitting down every day and just dealing with that feeling every day, taught me that I could get over it and that it's not true and that maybe I feel like a horrible writer in the moment, but I'm not. So I think a big lesson I learned is that every writer struggles with that feeling. You know, even if you're a published writer or if you're not, and it's very important to just to fight those feelings and not let them overwhelm you.
Rebecca Agowich in Seattle, Washington. Rebecca's first novel, Breakup Babe, will be available wherever books are sold April 25th, 2006.
Oh, yeah.
So we beat on, boats against the current, borne back ceaselessly into the past. The last lines from, do you recognize it? F. Scott Fitzgerald's The Great Gatsby, a great novel that was once a lousy first draft. Time now for the final edition of the 60 Seconds of Fame contest. The winner, John Snyder. And now the last page from John's 2005 NaNoWriMo novel, Monsieur Orlage.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that all the guns and bombs and backbreaking labor, sleepless nights and endless planning will not be enough to fend off our enemies, should they ever come? It may be that by this time next year, our little valley will be under the sway of another prince, or will be a small outpost for one of the great powers, a pawn they can shuffle while playing bigger games. Amidst all the other problems that beset the citizens of the valley, none are more in turmoil than the Chosen. Their elder murdered, they have been largely rudderless. Two or three prominent members of their small community are vying to become the new elder, but exactly what that entails, what gauntlets or contests they've devised to decide such things, I cannot say. What I do know is that our new prince and our old church not only ignore a terrible danger hovering around their ankles, they overlook a fantastic asset that could be used for the betterment of all people. All that I have seen is the despicable evil that the Chosen are capable of. But Beck has told me the Chosen have at their command power to do great good. What might happen if the troops of our newly minted captain were teamed with some conjuration of an elder and put into battle against our enemies? Never mind war. Think of what might be accomplished if the Chosen were permitted to use their abilities in other endeavors. It is possible that all my sins will come back to visit me, and that all I have done to make it right will not count as enough with those who might judge me. So be it. I am my own man now. Never again will I be anyone's puppet. Never again will I wait at someone's door, hoping against hope for a grain of recognition. I have accepted responsibility for my consciousness. I have accepted the burden and blessing of my own free will. I am chosen. The end. From Monsieur Horloge, I think that means Mr. Clock, author John Snyder's 2005 NaNoWriMo novel. And that's our show. But before we go, the NaNoWriMo staff would like to say farewell for 2005.
Hi, this is Sabelle, the forum's moderator. I just want to say a big congrats to everyone that signed up this year and wrote something. And, of course, big high fives to all 9,765 winners this year. I can't wait for next year, so come back and write with us again because I know I'm going for number six. Bye.
Hi, this is Ellen calling from National Novel Writing Month's Young Writers Program. I'm just calling to say, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, you did it! It's so exciting. Congratulations. See you next year.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel, the endowment dom for the municipal liaisons from around the world. I'm calling in from Toronto to wish everybody a hearty congratulations for a very successful NaNo season. Participants, municipal liaisons, and staff alike, it was fabulous working with and for all of you. I hope everyone takes good care of each other and good care of yourselves so that by the time NaNo 2006 comes along, we're all good to go for another fabulous year. Take care.
Hey, NaN Novelers. This is Russ Firebus calling to wish you a novel-free holidays and a novelicious new year. Congratulations. Bye.
Hi, this is Erin Alday, and I was your municipal liaison headmistress this year. And I just want to say a huge congratulations to everybody who participated in NaNoWriMo and won this year. But I want to give a huge congratulations to all of your municipal liaisons who were just outstanding and went way over the top. So thanks to everyone, and hope to see you all next year. Bye.
Hi, this is Chris Beatty. I'm the director of NaNoWriMo, and I would like to extend a huge congratulations to all participants. Our wonderful municipal liaisons, and are absolutely, devastatingly kind-hearted and mighty NaNoWriMo staff. Thanks, guys, for all of your hard work in these past few months. It has been the best NaNoWriMo that I've ever witnessed, and it's all because of you. Thanks very much. Bye.
And this is Sam Hallgren. Thanks for listening. And thanks to Russell Heumann and the rest of the NaNoWriMo staff. Thanks to Municipal Liaisons Worldwide. Thanks also to Susan Midlarsky, Aaron Ratliff, Rebecca Agowich, and Carrie Van Deest. Thanks to Podshow and the PodSafe Music Network for today's music. Congratulations to all 2005 participants, particularly to all the winners. Happy holidays. For NaNoWriMo Radio, I'm Sam Hallgren. See you next year.
Do not be afraid to dig in, to rally, to, you know, to find that place within you that is
Use a metaphor. Go ahead.
I can't do it. No, no more metaphors.
You're going to. This is going to be ridiculous. As you are a journalist, and maybe you'll appreciate this, or maybe you'll hang up the phone. I had you on record pause until about a minute ago. So I was testing my levels, and I never pressed the record button.
And their rally, ends up bringing them way back, back to. I'm gonna start that one over again. Okay, delete all that part again. Beep.
Have your Thanksgiving dinner at 2-3 in the afternoon. People will be sleeping by 4:35.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, or just stuff the thing with sedatives. I know that a turkey is already has these sort of natural sleep inducing qualities, but why not help it along a little bit? With prescription drugs.
We'll be working again this year with a nonprofit. Reach out this month, even if it just means sending an occasional encouraging email to a total stranger. And then there. And then, God. Ugh.
Kids participating, classrooms participating, that are as young as third graders. Should say that again. There are kids participating who are as young as in third grade. So it's pretty young. let's try that again.
Right. Well, actually, I would say I think I misspoke. In fact, will you edit out the part when I was talking about the end of week three? I'm gonna give you an answer right now. Now, oh, it's been too long since I've eaten. Okay, all right.
That's cheating. I'll give both advice and see if people pick up on the contradiction.
Okay, Sam. All right, you have to delete everything that's come up to this point. This is pure. We just had a blooper reel conversation, or you can splice it together into something. I can't. No. All right, I'm pulling myself together here. I'm going to give you a new answer, okay?
Starting